Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hey, Jim, it's Frank. Me and Ellie's down here for our convention. Can't wait to see you. It should be over at your place about 1 a.m. Banzai, buddy.
For you kids out there, you're hearing that and you're going, what? That means that's Tom Chattel's music. Tom Chattel, the World Herald, joins us. Good Tuesday, Tom. How are you?
Happy birthday, George.
Thank you.
God love you. God love you for that opening. It brings a tear to my eye. Thank you so much. And by all means, celebrate appropriately tonight.
Hey, so it may bring a tear of joy or anger to some in a fan base, but how about just kind of slipping in there last night that the border war is coming back between KU and Mizzou?
Well, it's about damn time. I've always said the reason that your rivals, the fact that your rivals is reason to stop playing, but just to get the other guy. But it's also the reason why you should be playing, because you there's so much, let's just say, hate.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
For lack of a better word, there's so much hate there, and there's just nothing like the atmosphere. Fran Fraschilla compared it to the OU-Texas football game and when it's played in Kansas City, and it's absolutely the truth. The Big 12 is lesser for not having that game in its conference. So, yeah, it's about time. And the question is, will Bill Self be around to coach in it by his choice? There's speculation. Was he agreed to do it because he knows he's not going to be there? So we'll see.
Now, this is just purely simple, and you're an alum of one side, and you've covered this before. This fell apart because Mizzou left and KU didn't want to cooperate, right?
Because they got mad because Missouri left the Big 12, which they said endangered the league. Texas and OU were saying, go ahead and leave. We don't care. We don't need you. So, it was just a way to get back at them. And, Missouri was kind of strutting around going, we got SEC money. We're in the big time, blah, blah, blah. And that was also at a time when realignment was still alive and so on and so forth. And, Gary, a topic for another day. I'm thinking about this. What has realignment meant to our world? And is anybody better off? In a lot of ways, yes, but in other ways, no. So we can deal with that when there's not a million other things to talk about.
Well, and when you hear that this is coming back, and I know it was the Big 12 days, just like yourself, myself, we all reminisce about the great Big 8 basketball days when every program seemed to have a character either as the head coach or in the program playing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, the characters are not quite there what they used to be. Even in the Big 12, it was still hot. So, yeah, it's whatever school you rooted for back then, the Big 8 and Big 12, you always wanted to watch those two schools go at it because, it was A, going to be good basketball, and B, it was going to be just an unbelievably, the atmosphere, the emotions, something was going to happen. The first time I ever watched a game back in the early 70s on TV, I was in Kansas City, the outfield house, Missouri player and a KU player went into the tunnel and throwing punches and haymakers. So that was my introduction to that.
You wrote about it this morning in the World Herald in your Tuesday column, which we all enjoy what you do with that. Scott Frost's decision on Mo Washington, his handling. We got to see him yesterday, was uncomfortable, wanted to get through it. I thought Sam asked a great follow-up question at the end of the press conference about what he would have done differently. Do you think when he was trying through this whole sticking with Mo to get him into the program, to try and get him into the structure, and then knucklehead here, knucklehead there, giving him chances, standing up for him, and then sometimes it's just enough is enough. Do you think he was the player looking at Mo Washington, the coach looking at Mo Washington? How do you think he approached that situation to finally say enough is enough?
I think every guy has to be his own, every coach has to be his own man or person. I think Scott, clearly has always followed the Tom Osborne playbook, whether it's football or it's life, and how you deal with people. Scott saw the Lawrence Phelps thing up front, obviously, in more ways than one. But he saw how that was dealt with. And, you know, Tom got raked over the coals by everybody in that deal, including me. I didn't think he should have played. I thought, you want to keep him on the team, fine, but he shouldn't play. And I felt a little bit like that in this case, although it was really a different circumstance. And I still can't figure out how that should be handled. But anyway, I think Scott was going to – and really the curveball for me was when I listened to him last year at the Christ the King banquet, tell everybody that he was a foster parent. And then he kind of dropped one on everybody there. A lot of mouths are open, like, whoa, didn't know that. Wow. And he still has, his foster child in Oregon. The guy's grown up now, but it's the side of Scott. He doesn't let us see that side. He doesn't talk about it much. He opened up that night.
Yeah, he did.
I wrote about it. And that's what's also going on here, too. So, but you got the business side, the coach who has to coach everybody and keep the locker room in shape. And, you can't give out second chances. You know, you just can't keep giving them out. Eventually, you got to draw the line. And I think it's really important, year two, forget the bowl game and all that stuff. It's more important to get the culture set and lay down the law now. And he has to draw the line, and the line can't move. It's got to stay that way. Back in the 90s, Lawrence Phillips was there. The culture was in place, and the Unity Council was part of the whole decision, so on and so forth. Scott doesn't have any of that stuff now. And frankly, the captains have not been great captains. But it's early in the process. A couple of them are young guys. You don't really expect that right now anyway. So, so I think, my feeling on this is that he's going to give guys a break when he can, when he feels like they maybe haven't had breaks in their life or have overcome stuff. But there's going to be a line drawn, and he has to have it drawn. As Tom, I interviewed him before he went to the Hall of Fame in 99, said, you can't save everybody. That doesn't mean you don't try. Yeah. I like Scott, will live and coach by that mantra.
And I think, and you know this from getting to know him as just Scott Frost, the Nebraska native, Scott Frost, the player, Scott Frost, the coach, loyalty is a big thing with him. And his friends, the people he hires, and the players that are in his program that he is in charge of overseeing, I think that goes a long way. And once that's broken, man, you're not able to go down that road with him anymore.
No, I definitely agree. And that means the players have to have his back, too. Mm-hmm. They have to do the right thing, and they've got to be leaders in their own way, and they've got to follow the rules. No, Gary, I still think we're still in that year. The first year, there was a lot of turnover. Guys are leaving. Guys are trying to figure out if they want to be here or not. I think we might still be in that process. This will be another interesting offseason to see who's in and who's out. And I'm all for them. I don't think you should throw a point, toss players aside, but they certainly can go on the bench. And I think – if there are guys who are freshmen who are ready to go, get them on the field. Let's find out now. because I've said all along, the record this year wasn't the big thing. You want to go to a bowl game, yes, but the program needs momentum going into the offseason, or it'll be a lost year.
So momentum, we all know about getting to 6 in a bowl game. What other things of momentum in the last 7 weeks that include 5 games that kind of show off where the program is headed or where the staff as a whole is headed do you need to see?
Well, I wrote this back in spring and this summer too, and you know, I assumed it'd be in a bowl game. Silly me, again. You know, what am I thinking? They got to get to the bowl game. But that's the first thing. I think Wisconsin and Iowa are those two games on the schedule every year now, where those are sort of the measuring stick. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Minnesota, Nebraska killed them last year. That's not a measuring stick game for Nebraska. It's certainly a game that they didn't win this year. But Wisconsin and Iowa are the big thorns in the side that and those are the games to win the division. You're going to have to figure out a way to win those. So I really wanted to see progress, even if you don't beat them, at least take them down to the wire. Make it a game, make it competitive. I don't know if they did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
But now, will they have a kicker? What's the offensive line situation? And I know Iowa's offense isn't great. That's a weird game shaping up for me right now. But I think those are the two games, Wisconsin and Iowa. And it's until Nebraska proves that they could do it, those would be the ones every year.
Hey, you're a baseball guy. Is it a big deal that today's the World Series?
You know, it's my team's out, and that's fine. But I've had a harder time watching baseball, and maybe I'm too caught up in today's got-to-have-it-now culture. But, man, some of these games last so long, and they drag on, and I can't do it half the time. I like the national story. I like that a lot. I wish they were wearing Expos hats, but that won't happen. It's fun to watch, that market get in there. I don't like the Astros. I like them a lot less after what happened this weekend with the female reporters in the clubhouse and their response to it. But the Astros are so good that they don't care about Strasburg and Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They're going to go in and probably beat them. They're going to try like hell to beat them. And it's not impossible. The Dodgers sure, they came real close to beating Strasburg there at the end. I think Astros are 5, and that's given the Nationals 1. So I watch maybe. Depends on what TV in my house I can get. There's something on everything. So, is it a priority? Not really.
I'm finding that out. That kind of pains me as a guy that's from a baseball background with a baseball family. But I get it. You're not alone in the length of games and.
Well, here's the deal. I don't know if the NBA's got geniuses or what, but the NBA's got all the momentum, and the NBA sat there all summer, and I'm watching that show. The Jump, and an hour a day on ESPN. Yeah. It's on in June, July, and August, and they don't have a baseball show. They don't have Baseball Tonight. They don't have a baseball show on ESPN. What does that tell you? And World Series, give them the World Series. No, the big story is opening at the NBA.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. We appreciate it. We'll chat again next week, and I'll remind myself I want to get into your story with Trev last week. That was really good.
Thank you very much.
That's Tom Chattel from the Omaha World Herald. A couple of quick notes out of Lincoln. Adrian Martinez is in pads today, walking past reporters. Practice got pushed back. Nebraska hasn't had school the last couple of days. He is wearing a brace on his left knee. Barrett Pickering, this is according to Parker Gabriel, who will join us tomorrow at 1:30. Parker Gabriel was in pads. And he is up past 20 kicks per day. But Joe Von DeWitt says they're still being careful with distance and volume. So Martinez in pads, knee brace on. Remember last year how he played with his knee brace after his injury against Colorado? Maybe that's the cure to get Adrian back on track. You can, I mean, sounds like we're kidding, but you know, there was a comfort level with wearing a brace because he continued to wear it even when he didn't need it. But in pads, wearing a brace today. We'll get you a couple more notes when we come back. But let's give away some tickets. Your chance to be part of the Sharp Show ticket drop. Tickets to go see Blake Shelton coming up next year at the Chai.
And Blake Shelton will be joined by the Bellamy Brothers, John Anderson, Trace Adkins, and a very special guest, Lauren Elena.
It's kind of an old school tour.
A little bit, yeah. So should be a good one. That's going to be March 12th at as Gary said, the Chai. Shout out to Zach, who won yesterday. George at 1620thezone.com. People who are calling me right now, I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm in a good mood today. Blake Shelton is on a wonderful TV show called The Voice, which I actually checked out the last maybe 30 minutes of it yesterday because WWE had a segment I didn't care about, and I was not turning on what was going on ESPN. So I actually checked out probably the last couple of minutes of it. But Blake Shelton used to have a best friend that is no longer on this show. If you can give me that friend, give me his name. He was a judge on The Voice with Blake. They would go back and forth all the time. They had a bromance. It was fantastic. George at 1620thezone.com. Give me that former Voice judge's name. And as my email just starts blowing up and they're not happy birthday messages. a couple of right answers already. George at 1620thezone.com. I'll choose a winner. I'll be here by 4:30. So 5 o'clock.
All right, still to come, moment of the day. It's the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.